because it's also like, I really want to review it, but it has a hole in it, which makes it your territory.
Oh, oh.
So I was kind of like, how do we blend the expertise here? So I'll be like, how do holes work? And you'll be like, I got this.
I am the hole expert. Have I talked to you guys since we got our wood pile in?
No, I don't think so.
So wait. I'll save that for wood talk.
Oh yeah, it could be the cold open. Like, do you want to make it a feature?
I think the cold open has to be hole expert.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a real short cold open.
And it'll be great because we'll have a callback in a couple weeks when we've actually seen the show. How many cords did you order?
We got like two. And it was interesting. Well, not interesting. So we were like, we're going to make the kids help us at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Just so they could say that they helped. And so they come out and they start sacking wood, and then their friends see them and they come over. And it's, usually I do this by myself, and it's like 6-7 hours.
Yeah, it takes a while.
But we had like five kids, and then the neighbors across the street saw it and thought it looked like a good time. And they came over for a while. We did the whole thing with like all the neighborhood kids in like 2 hours. It was incredible.
But did you pay them? You gotta give them like $10 each or something.
No, I took them to ice cream.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But that's the racket. That's what every year you got to just get the neighborhood and you promise them, you know, snacks or, you know, you'll pay them or whatever. But yeah, it gets the job done.
Well, I think they just wanted to hang out with the kids.
Well, yeah.
Or my kids. And they all, because they're hanging out with my kids all day anyway. So they were like, well, they have to do it then.
We'll just stack some wood. Right. Stacking is not that bad. It took us months. I need to find neighborhood kids to drag into service. Where's my child labor?
Oh, that's another good cold open.
But we haven't used it. It's been like in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, and then tonight it's going to be in the 20s.
Yeah.
Or 30s or whatever. Yeah. It was literally like 70s all weekend, 60s today. And then Juan's like, we're going to need to have a fire tomorrow because it's going to be like 30. I was like, what?
That's wood talk.
Was that wood talk?
I think that was wood talk.
Okay. Yeah. We're getting there.
But
I just had my Christmas present ruined. I was looking at L.L. Bean. They sell the giant sacks of fat wood. And I was like, I'm going to get one for Christmas. And then I was like, are you running out of fat wood? And he's like, Tori. And like, come here. And like, leads me to where we have all the kindling and stuff. And there's this huge box. He's like, I bought that last year. How have you not noticed? Like, it was my genius Christmas present. I just wanted to buy you a sack of fat wood. And then my friend who has been sending me shitty texts about our wood talk, about when we do fire talk and stuff like that. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? He's in like Brooklyn. I'm like, what the fuck is flat wood? Like, what are you talking about? You sound like an idiot. And I'm like sending him links. It's a real thing. And then he went to the local hardware store and he just sent me a picture. They had like one dusty box on a shelf of fat wood. And he's like, fuck, it's real. I'm like, I told you. I don't know why you have it in Brooklyn, considering no one has functioning fireplaces, but like.
But when you get your wood dumped, we get it dumped to the driveway. Have a driveway for you just dump in the yard?
We have a driveway, but then we have a couple of other like access points to the yard. So there's one that we have them back the truck up into and dump the wood. So it's like near our wood piles, but not in our driveway.
After you take all the wood inside, there's just like piles and piles of bark and little things. And that ends up being like the kindling.
That's the kindling. Yeah. I didn't even clean up all of it. Cause some of it, I was like, I don't care. But like, I got three good like milk crates of just kindling. And I was like, look at what I did. Juan's like, that won't be enough for the winter. And I'm like, I never said it was. We'll still have to get our kindling, but it's a good start. Come on. Yeah. And then I just hope the rest of it gets packed down because I'm like, I can't mow there right now because it's all like
just crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the snow shovel too. Well, because it's on the driveway, so it's on the grass. So I can just get the snow shovel and like sort of like dump it in the wheelbarrow, and then we put it in boxes. And then like actually we usually save that for the next year, and we use last year's bark for this year's kindling.
Right.
Because it's dry and...
Yeah. I mean, some of this crappy stuff I'll save. We have like a separate wood pile for like our bonfire wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The stuff that's like, I don't want to... have that clogging up my chimney, but it's like, you know, fine outdoor wood. So I have like a separate, so some of the kindling goes there, like the crappier pieces of bark and stuff. Yeah, there's levels. You have to like really delineate.
Dan's like, what the fuck?
this is so oh, stupid. No, this is great. I'm learning so much. Why I mean, this is all part of the show, so it's fine.
we're already into
it. Oh, we're already in it. I'm not, as you know, I do not edit, so... Yeah. This is just going to all be preambled to whenever we get to the intro, which doesn't have to be now, but you know.
Okay.
One second. If this is in the show, then I feel obliged to tell you about the giant bear shit that I found in my backyard. And I'm going to gesture. I know if somebody does listen, they won't be. It's literally that big.
Oh, gross.
Tori is roughly, it looks like she's holding a shape that is about the size of her head.
Yeah, the human.
Yeah, head. Roughly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably, like half my skull. It was, and the best part was Juan had just, I didn't realize he'd done it. He just bought like motion sensor cameras to put around the house. And it was kind of like, yeah, at night we'll be able to see what animals go traipsing by or whatever. And I was like, and it came the day I found the giant bear turd, and I'm like, that's perfect timing. I want to see the bear, and we have not yet seen the bear. There's just the poop remains literally right behind my house, and so every morning I wake up and I'm waiting to see what the cameras have caught overnight, and it's just it's just deer and raccoons, and I'm like, where's the bear?
For people who tune in for television, it's just like that Alone episode in like the second season where they were trying to find the bear in the cameras. And every night they couldn't find the bear, but they saw like the bear had fucked up the shit, but they still couldn't actually get.
Right. Well, my thing is like all the other critters, it's like I still want to see the bear, but I'm also like, wow, I didn't realize the raccoons were like all up in our shit. Like they're like on our, like under our porch, like coming out. I'm like, I didn't know you were there. Like, could you go away? There's like deer like hanging out by our car. I'm like, okay.
It's a happening. It's a happening spot.
There's plenty of yard out there, guys. You can disperse. So anyway. Is this really the show?
Well, yeah. I'm including all of it. I mean, we haven't done the intro. I still have to do the intro. But
well, do the intro, Dan. God. Well,
it's all part of the show. Look, it's been a few weeks. We've been away for redacted reasons. Welcome to Pajiba, the Pajiba television podcast. I'm Pajiba comedy editor Dan Hamamura. With me, as always, our Pajiba managing editor, Tori Preston.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tori. And sound farting lead singer, Dustin Rolls.
Hello, Tori.
Hello, Dustin.
The television and fire podcast.
Well, we talk about Survivor sometimes. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Fire involved.
Water.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I got the, because it's cheaper now, the Trader Joe's sparkling water. And like,
it's good. Thing, it's fine.
It's fine. The thing about it is, like, if you get green apple, like, if you get polar and you get, like, apple, it's like a hint of flavor, but this is kind of like green apple juice. It's like, it's really like,
yeah, they have a lot. It's a lot of flavor,
and it's too much for sparkling water, but it's fine.
But also nobody would get a green apple seltzer. Well, other than I guess polar, because you like it, but I didn't know they made it with Trader Joe's. It was always just like clementine or like lime. It really
tastes like specifically green apple, which is kind of interesting.
You know, when I was in an undisclosed location over the past couple weeks, I did try some sparkling maple water.
So it was sap brand? What was the brand?
It was Sap Brand, I believe.
It's so good.
It was good. Yeah. It had like just enough flavor without, it didn't taste like weird or chemically, but like it wasn't super strong. It was good. It's just right.
Yeah.
It was very expensive.
Yes.
But
yeah, it's like twice the price of like just seltzer.
Right. not what I'm drinking tonight, but you know, the
What are you drinking tonight, Dan?
I'm drinking Rida Japanese Lager. Actually, I think it's also from Trader Joe's. I don't know.
Is it a Trader Joe's brand?
Maybe. It's
because Trader Joe's brand beer is not good.
It's fine. It just claims to be like a Japanese lager, which just means pretty light. And it's it's fine.
It's a big can. Looks like a healthy serving.
It's a big can. I have another one if I need it.
Yeah.
But it's still light enough that it's probably not going to, it's not going to go, it isn't going to be one of those bourbon nights or, wait, what was the bad, sake nights. It's not going to be one of those. Oh. So we'll be fine. Tori, what about you?
I'm having apple cider, but with, I heated it up a little bit with some whiskey, but I'm already almost done with it. So I may need to go get more, but I'm not going to have time to heat it. So I'm just going to have like sad, cold cider. Apple cider whiskey, but it'll still be fine.
And all right.
In my Pajiba mug.
Oh yeah. We should sell those. Shouldn't we sell those?
We probably should.
I mean, I don't know if anyone would ever buy them, but.
They say Dustin Cheats.
They do say Dustin Cheats, which is really the, the thing that we should all learn from this.
Yeah.
My father-in-law brought me something called Smutty Nose. Finest kind IPA. I think it's probably something somebody brought to his house and
he wanted to offload it.
Yep. It's fine. It's Smutty Nose.
It's famous. That's like a known brand.
Yeah. It's fine. Maybe. It's called Finest Kind, which is sums it up. It's fine.
Yeah, finest. I know it's supposed to mean like best, right, but it kind of like, just sounds like most mediocre. Yeah.
It's fitting.
Yeah. But you're drinking it out of a wine glass, I see.
Yes, of course.
Does that improve it?
Absolutely. It's
but the experience. It's even slightly, finer. Slightly, it's even fine. Finestier.
Are you also drinking your green apple seltzer?
Yes, and an Allagash and Portland Pale Ale.
Oh, wait, are they all open or sequentially?
No, sequentially. Also, okay. I wanted to mention to JS, because JS keeps giving me shit, I did not quit Manifest. I quit La Brea, and I think you know that. And I think you're just fucking with me.
We know you haven't quit Manifest because you've been writing up recaps for every single season.
Right.
I know.
I mean, every single episode.
JS keeps saying, he quit this show. And I'm like, no, I didn't. That was La Brea. God damn it.
I do feel like maybe emotionally you've distanced yourself from it.
From Manifest?
Yeah. It's not like quiet quitting, but I feel like there's a certain level of...
I just feel like
you're just not as invested as you used to be.
It's hard to do it when there's an episode. Well, I'm trying, just doing an episode a day. It's too much Manifest. It was easier when it's, you space it out a week. You got enough time to build up some like anger and resentment. But here you're just like defeated. Just like, God damn. And it started on the weekend and I'm like, it's the fucking weekend. I want to like do things. And I'm out, I'm in my house recapping fucking Manifest.
Well, while your child labor builds your wood stack.
Exactly.
So, I mean, what I'm hearing is that you might actually need to return to La Brea just for a break.
I don't know.
Just for a breath of fresh air.
I'm not sure that that will help. Oh, it's just,
Only one way to find out. When does Riverdale come back? Is it back?
I think it comes back in like January.
Yeah, I feel like it's they made it a spring show or winter/spring show.
And then it runs for like 9 months, I think.
It'll never end.
Yeah, it just I mean, I've been doing Manifest and like the last fucking episodes of Walking Dead at the same time. You're just, oh, Walking Dead. You're just like, God damn, just so, end yeah. already.
I feel like you've been telling us that Walking Dead is almost over for like months now. And there's still, it feels like
it's been
like
at least a year.
Right. And it's really not.
It has been a year because it's been in the final season. Yes. Now they're going to take like the last episode and probably break it up into like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like a little, but the same thing. So Manifest is this, did they only renew it? Is this supposed to be like fourth and final season or?
It is the fourth and final season, but they split it into two parts. So.
Right. So even here you're in the final season, but you won't actually be able to finish. You're going to have to come back to it.
Something big happens in the 10th episode, but something like worth writing about, but I'm just wading through this bullshit and I have no idea. Honestly, nobody reads these.
Wait, is the 10th episode the mid-season finale or the finale? Okay, mid-season. So it's like a 20-episode season.
Yes, which is too many episodes.
That's just a regular network season.
That could have been.
I know, but it's on fucking Netflix.
Yeah, that could have been two seasons. They could have squeezed a fourth and fifth season out of that.
I'm just torturing myself, but I don't want people to say you're a quitter, and I know nobody cares, but I don't, yeah.
Well, it sounds like even when you don't quit, people call you a quitter.
Right.
So
God damn it, Jess.
Speaking of final seasons, I just need to, I know we've mentioned, I don't know if we've mentioned on a podcast or off podcast, but the grand mystery of Carnival Row, that premiered literally years ago. It wasn't even like I feel like it wasn't even a pandemic, like something that got delayed because of the pandemic. It just got delayed. I was with 2019.
The first season was 2019. Yes.
Yeah. And it was not very good, but they immediately got renewed. They finally announced the second season is going to premiere next February in 2023, but they announced it as the second and final season. So they're wrapping it up. There it will be no more of that show, but you had to wait 4 years to get it.
Well, three and a half.
Three and a half.
Did anybody watch the first season?
There were some people that liked it, and those people were broadly wrong. I feel like most people either didn't watch it or like kind of were like, eh? Like it was just, it was the finest in the mediocre sense.
It's interesting. I mean, pandemic aside, which obviously, it definitely affected it did, production at least, but it's one of those shows, like it premiered in summer of 2019. It was one of those shows that was renewed around like either right when or right before it premiered. And it's kind of like it's almost like of a different era of TV because it was when they're just throwing money at big budget stuff and saying like, okay, we're trying to find a tent pole and maybe this will be the tent pole. So we'll just renew it for a second season. And
right off the bat, because you're anything that was fantasy, it's like you're already investing so much in the world building that it's like, okay, well, let's just make sure that let's bank on it, hoping that it'll take off.
Right. And if nothing else, you've like spread out your cost a little more.
Yeah.
But between the pandemic delays and Amazon changing in the meantime and like finding the hits Rings that they've subsequently found. Yeah. That like,
yeah,
it's just such a strange, yeah. It's like a weird holdover from another era.
It's also especially weird because it was like at that, and like you're saying, it was a different era, but like in particular, it was the era where Amazon, the best Amazon could hope for was sort of something that would have been, that seemed like a Showtime show. Like Carnival Row was literally Penny Dreadful with fairies.
Right.
Like, and it squandered it. Like if only it had taken more cues from Penny Dreadful.
Right.
But that is kind of what it was hearkening to. And then, you know, now it has something like Rings of Power, which is much more of an HBO show. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Amazon as a streamer, as a, you know, producer has gotten better.
Right. One thing that I think is just weird about it is that like that same summer was the first season of The Boys.
Oh God.
Yeah. And wow. so they don't think
people really expected to do right. what it did.
Right. But they're like of the same era of television yeah. for Amazon.
And we've gotten 3 seasons of right. The Boys. Right. That didn't seem to have too many pandemic
and
delays.
And a spinoff.
Yeah. Like The Boys is fine.
How long has it been since we had Jack Reacher? That was a great show. Why didn't they bring that back quickly?
They renewed it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It just feels like it's been a long, but I don't know anything about time anymore.
Reacher.
What's the one with Krasinski then?
Well, that's Jack Ryan, which is coming back next month. The third season.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Is it?
It must be. I mean, it's okay for that sort of thing. It's not good, but it's fine.
Yeah, when does season 2 of Reacher come out?
I know. It's been a while, right?
Well,
but it hasn't been like 3.5 years.
No. I mean, it came out this year. So
it did?
February 2022. I just looked at
no.
it. No. So it hasn't been that long.
I was like, it's at least been 1.5 years.
Okay, but to be fair, last February was 1.5 years ago. Like, I maintain that. Come on.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Huh.
So, all right. Well, do we want to do Dustin's 5 minutes?
No. Oh, no. Yeah. Do you have a 5 minutes?
I didn't prepare for that.
What do you mean you didn't prepare for it?
I watched a lot of Manifest.
Yeah, you've had 3 weeks. I would have given you 7 minutes for that.
I watched a lot of TV, and except Inside Man was amazing.
Yes.
And Tori will back me on that. The Devil's Hour was pretty great. What else did I watch? Manifest is just absolute shit.
Hootie and Lyle Lovett showed up on Big Sky. That was great.
Yeah, that was fun. And Big Sky is just mediocre. Just mediocre to good.
Okay, just wait. Fine. You should maybe the two of you should explain. I mean, we talked about it off pod a little bit, but maybe explain Inside Man to me and to the audience because the both of you like it. So
yeah, it's by Stephen Moffat.
Okay,
and it is it's essentially Sherlock, only not as Sherlocky. It's Stanley Tucci is a death row inmate who is the Sherlock character, but he's like the co-lead. He's like half the story. But he's a criminologist who like is whiling away his time before his execution by like solving very tough cases.
And his Watson is a serial killer who's super charming, but also killed like 27 women.
Yeah. And is like not unashamed serial killer who, but he has a photographic memory.
Right.
So yeah. Stanley Tucci's character is like, I don't like you, but like they make a great pair because he needs him. And Dylan Baker plays his, very like oddly sympathetic warden. And then, you know, meanwhile, across the pond, David Tennant plays a character, this vicar, who literally every episode says, I'm a fucking vicar. And he gets embroiled in this, mild misunderstanding regarding a USB drive filled with child pornography. And whether it might be his son's or his, or he knows whose it is, it's one of his parishioners, but somebody thinks that it actually belongs to his son. And then he tries to cover for the son and it all gets blown out of proportion. And this woman ends up locked in his basement. And that case kind of spans before the cops have even gotten involved. Somehow Stanley Tucci's character catches wind of this missing woman. So that ties the two, but the storylines otherwise are kind of distinct. Yeah. What else?
I just remembered something. I don't normally complain about our commenters at Pajaiba, but I did review this show. And so it's about like a death row guy and like a serial killer and this woman who's locked up in a basement and all of this stuff. And she was like, she was really upset because I wasn't more compassionate about the children and the porn on the USB drive. That's basically a plot controversy. She's like, what? She's like, I'm really disappointed in you. And I'm like, what? What?
We don't see it. Like, and this is also, I am assuming she has not actually seen the show.
No, I don't think so.
Because, like, to be clear, it is, I will say, there is a certain amount of Stephen Moffat glossing of things because they're intellectually interesting and they make for a good story, but he's not necessarily going in, like, just because one of the main characters is on death row doesn't mean the show is a, you know, an indictment of the American criminal justice system and how, right. you know, maybe, right. you know, capital punishment is wrong. Like, we're not getting into that. Mm-hmm. There's a character on death row because that presents a very fascinating ticking clock mm-hmm. and a morality question. So right. like you have to, there's a bit of that. The child pornography is presented as literally, like, every character acknowledges that this is the worst.
Right.
And yes. without seeing it, you see the impact that it has on everyone. Like, there is a character, like, the person whose drive it actually was is riddled with guilt and is, he's on the verge, like, he's not okay. Mm-hmm. And it's actually his. And then you have every other character where it's like, they're horrified about it, but also understand that it's that the kind of in society, if someone labels you a pedo, how do you get around right. that? And right. so you have a father trying to protect his son from getting labeled that, while also trying to protect his parishioner who is that mm-hmm. and understanding that, like, you know, yeah, the mission of the show is not to find the victims of the pornography and rescue.
Right.
But the show makes it very clear that this is, like, the worst crime. Like, it's right. – there's no, like – they're not glossing over the children. yeah, that's a weird comment.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Okay. I don't know. Speaking of kids, Stephen Moffat's son plays the son.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's his, like, real life kid.
You mean the one that is being protected by David Tennant?
Yeah, so David okay. Tennant's son, the one who it's like his tutor who finds the flash drive, thinks it belongs to the son. Mm. It's all a misunderstanding. But yeah, that's
tense, but funny.
It is, and it's funny at, like, really inappropriate times, too. Like, and part of it's because some of the character decisions are so wrong or weird, or because it's also about
how much do you know about Vickers? I mean, is that like I'd never really heard that term. It sounds
it's just British, like it's
right,
yeah.
But not minister. A celibate priest. He's got a no. wife and he talks about sex and yeah.
Right. He's a fucking vicar.
Like, right.
yeah, it's not. I think that one of the things that comes up in the show a lot is the idea that murder, everyone is a murderer. Right. It's just a question of, like, catching them on a bad day. Yeah, it's a matter of the circumstances. And so the show ends up presenting that from two angles, which is the guy who has been convicted and you're never really sure why, but it's very clear that, like, he's not like the serial killer. He's not just out killing anyone. There was a very specific set of circumstances that led him to murder. And meanwhile, you're watching this farce unfold with this family under dire circumstances, and a series of misunderstandings where they keep getting themselves further and further from, like closer to the point of no return.
Right.
So you've got a woman locked in your basement. Like, are you going to kill her? And they're just very calmly, like, do we kill her? What happens if we let her go? How do we, what are we going to do? And, you know, very,
but yeah, so I'm not like
watching it happen, like how these normal, very nice, rational people could get closer to murder.
And I totally, like, once she fell down the stairs, I was like, what the fuck do you do? I have no idea what you do. I mean, you could let her go, but then your life is ruined and your kid's life is ruined and your wife's life. What the fuck do you do?
But also,
and
if you hold on to her,
nothing, right? Your life is ruined.
Yeah. Right. But holding on to her doesn't make that go away either. Like, you know, they're trying to buy for time and, like, you're only making it worse. And right. so, yeah, every step And that's what makes it tense, is because you kind of want to just shake these people, but you also can see how a lot of times, like, if you were in their position, would you have done differently? I mean, I think we all hope we would have, but it happens kind of fast. Next thing you know, you got some woman in your basement.
Yeah, it's a Thursday. It happens.
And that's not like that happens in episode one. And their situation proceeds to get so much worse.
So much worse.
It's very tense. But anyway, that is a good show.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. And that's four episodes on Netflix.
It's four episodes, so it doesn't get to the point. It's not like a Sherlock season three or, you know, situation. Right. It's not like the end of Moffat's Doctor Who run. It's you're getting Moffat in the concise early days of a show, Moffat.
Got it.
But I still want a season two, and you'll see why. I don't know if there's going to be a season two.
But it might
not be that kind of show. Yeah, there's a reason why I want to see season two.
Cool.
I also watched, you, Dan. You can talk. You should talk about Blockbuster, and I will join you on that.
All right. I mean, this is kind of briefly for me. Blockbuster came out on Netflix, 10 episodes. I think I've watched the first four or so. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of shows, I don't mean like Netflix. I just mean kind of in general, like a lot of shows, it's like premise is really cool. Cast is really good. It's generally pleasant. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know yet if it's going to surpass that. But it comes from Vanessa Ramos, who was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and I think Superstore. She comes from like the Mike Shore camp. Jackie Clark, who comes from the David Casp camp, is I think the other showrunner. And they have a lot of writers from kind of like both camps. So it has kind of like it, but it's interesting because of that, it kind of feels like it lands in between like Mike Shore sweetness and David Casp like rapid fire jokes. Mm-hmm. Like it's not quite doing either. It's kind of trying to do both in a way that doesn't kind of gets in the way a little bit. It hasn't found its at least four episodes in, it hasn't quite found the right rhythm for this show. But
I've only seen the first episode or two, but I felt the rhythm being stilted, but I also attributed that to it feels like such a network show.
Right.
And for it to not have even just commercial breaks, mm-hmm. like it just felt weird watching a very network show that is native to Netflix.
Right. And you're seeing a lot of writers who came out of network comedy.
Right.
And so they're, that's
have
where
they adjusted.
Trained.
Yeah. Right. Like
I felt like the algorithm, the Netflix algorithm was specifically speaking to me, but then I watched the show and everything seems right in the show. Like they're making pop culture references that I enjoy, but it just still, it feels all very flat and weird. And I quit after three episodes. It just wasn't, I didn't think it was going to work.
I love the cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And I don't know. I mean, I think, and this is one thing where I don't know whether I'm impressed or not, but obviously when the show was announced, there was lots of kind of jokes about, okay, so you have Netflix, which arguably killed Blockbuster, mm-hmm. Making a show about the last Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. But of course, Blockbuster killed small video stores.
Right.
And so you have a comedy that's positioning Blockbuster as this humanist, like the last Blockbuster as this last kind of vestige of, you know, an era where you had human interactions and, you know, and the show gets all of the criticism, like its own inherent, like the hypocrisy of its own premise.
Right.
And so it cracks all of the jokes, like anything you would want to like throw at it.
Right.
It, in the first episode, it's got a joke ready for it. And I was kind of like, cool, so you acknowledge it, but then, I don't know if the show is able to then do anything about it. It's right. Like, it's going, yeah, no, we're aware, but it's still, we're still, you know, this right. is still kind of about how like right. Blockbuster is the, you know, underdog and, you know, we're the quirky staff.
Right.
It's like,
also they forced the romance between Randall Park and Melissa Fumero like immediately. And there, it just doesn't work. And they just keep trying to make it work. And like, they're supposed to, I don't know. They are supposed to be the same age as J. Smoove too.
Roughly. Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
What's the problem?
I mean, Fumero must be at least 10 years younger than both Park and maybe like 15 years younger than J.B. Smoove, right?
Probably.
And they all went to high school together.
That's TV. What do you want?
Yeah.
Oh, she's 40? Wow. That doesn't make any sense.
Anyway.
Randall Park is 48. All right.
He is?
Yeah. Jamie Smith is 56. Huh.
Jesus, so none of them were ever in high school at the same time.
No. But they're all much older than I thought that they were.
Interesting. Well, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
No.
You can't tell.
Yeah, I think... Well, it's an interesting... I mean, we've talked about it in the past, but it's interesting how, like, to compare it to something like She-Hulk, which predicted it's the things that detractors would, like, the jokes the detractors would say, but then, like, heightened them and kind of, like, heightened around them.
Right.
Whereas this, I think you're right that so far, and again, I don't know what happened in the second half of the season, but, like, it feels like... It's they hit acknowledgement, but then they haven't gotten beyond it yet.
Yeah, they haven't transformed it or
right. But I don't know. There are people on the margins of the show that like a lot of the jokes that I've enjoyed the most are kind of around the margins. Like there was one episode where they're trying to one of the B stories was they're trying to put up like a wall of like, you know, the workers' picks for like favorite movies, right? Or like what you should watch, what you should rent. And they're having a meeting about it with like a bunch of the workers. And then one customer just joins in randomly. And they're like, why are you in this meeting? He's like, don't worry about it. And they just move on and they just keep going. Like that, like stuff like that. Or like there's a one customer who asks for help when they're having a meeting and then no one helps her and she just kind of like awkwardly inches away. And they've brought her back a couple times. So like those kinds of things feel like that feels like it almost feels like that's where the show wants to live in just like interaction and like almost more like Superstore where it's like, and then like the plot can just be a little bit looser, but right now there's so much plot that,
they're like,
it's kind of getting
with like an eviction and like,
right.
Yeah.
Trying to keep this Blockbuster afloat, which like.
Right. And it's true. It's like normally you need more DVD of the work, but you also need more of the workplace side to be invested in the threats to that workplace.
Right.
So yeah, I agree. It's like, you know, the funny video store interactions should be the sweet spot.
Right.
And people have DVD. Every Xbox is a DVD player.
Oh, yeah. I forget. Right?
Unless you got one of the new ones that doesn't even have a disc drive.
Right. Which is not... No one should do that. Always buy physical whenever possible.
Yes. Whatever. I think that's...
What do you mean, whatever?
Dustin, those purchases are not purchases. You are leasing that content. They can pull it back at any time.
Yeah, you'll lose it.
Okay. But, and so? I mean, if... If those are no longer, if we can't access those things, there's any more, then there are a lot worse things going on in the world than not being able to access those things.
Says a man who runs a pop culture website.
And this is why when I said we should all watch Selfie, everyone was like, how do we get Selfie? And I said, I will talk to you off pod. Anyway, that's Blockbuster. Also, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet because I was in an undisclosed location, but I just wanted to let everyone know for the four of you who have and watch IFC, Sherman's Showcase is back for season two. I have not caught up yet. I'm sure it's delightful. Go check it out.
Is that Sarah Sherman by any chance?
It is not Sarah Sherman.
Well, then it doesn't matter.
How dare you, Dustin? It's Sherman's
Showcase. It's SNL.
It's Bashir Salahuddin and Diallo Riddle who created Southside for Comedy Central. They came up on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. They created Slow Jam the News.
I
do not have any personal ties to them. That's not true. I do. But there, it's Sherman Showcase is a really good show, and it's insane. And I've talked about it on what?
How personal?
What do you mean, how personal?
How personal are the ties?
I know them as people. Because he knows I've had interactions with them before. So.
But like, define no.
I've interacted with them in a professional capacity.
So not like biblically. Okay.
Not biblically.
You have talked about the show before.
I have talked about the show before.
Yes.
But yeah, so look, I'm biased, but also the show's a delight and people should check it out. It'll be on Hulu at some point. Because that's where.
Wait, what channel is it on?
It's on IFC,
which is basically AMC Plus.
It is AMC Plus.
Yeah, but which I don't.
Means maybe you have an episode early.
Yeah, I don't think it's on AMC Plus. I don't know. Anyway, either way, find it wherever you find your IFC programming. We need to get to Kung Fu Corner, Tori.
Oh yeah, Kung Fu Corner.
So we should probably do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, so this week, I'm just going to focus on this week, and I'm sure we'll backfill as we talk. But so, main thing to know is that we finally saw Bo with in a tank top, and he also has very nice arms. And that was, we see it when Nikki goes to his apartment and they start making out. And she's like finally going to tell him about how she's like very magical. But then they kiss. And so then they finally like go and do it. But Henry's back too. And Henry is having a very tough time because now he's the compass. So he's got some magical powers. And he's like helping Nikki and her family, but also is pretty bummed that he's not dating Nikki. And Nikki's really holding her ground about how she's moved on. And it's tough because Bo is really charming. But then, like, he was in the first few episodes, and then it was Nikki and Henry for a while. And so you kind of – Bo's on the back burner, and so you haven't really seen their relationship develop. And now Bo is back – and now it's like we're getting deeper into the love triangle territory. And I'm really torn because Henry's still great, but Bo's also pretty great. But we haven't – Bo's not as developed, so why am I so – Is it? I'm just. Why am I actually rooting for the new guy?
Good hair. He's got really good hair.
He does have good hair. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's going on, and that's kind of a bummer. Sheriff Jody has helped. Sheriff Jody from Supernatural, who has a different character name, and I will not remember it because she's just Sheriff Jody. She is now like the corporate liaison that's helping the restaurant get off the ground, and everything was going great. She gets along with Mom and everything's wonderful, but she and Sebastian are butting heads. And at the end of this episode, she finds the personnel file that says that Sebastian is an ex-con. So that's going to be a problem.
Sebastian just didn't want to be a sellout. What's wrong with that?
And then Jin's been helping with this like representative's campaign, but that guy just, somebody got some blackmail on him, and he I think it's like the private defense people that have been causing problems in the city. So he just got blackmailed, and he decided he'd like vote for the thing that would contract out to the security to this private firm. And Jin's like angry, like, what? So that's going to be some political stuff. He's not going to put up with that. He's going to be protecting Chinatown. That's going to be pretty interesting. Althea is working for Derek because she can't use the internet, but she can tell him how to use the internet. So she's kind of like a researcher.
I believe his name is Evan, is my understanding.
Derek?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure his name's Derek.
Case closed.
We all know what's going on. And Pei Ling has been fighting with the alchemist in her mind, like all this time. And so she like,
as you do.
So she like broke in the amulet. That didn't do anything. She like, you know, she's been like almost hurting people. And so this episode, they get a candle from the Salem witch trials that can help exorcise like possessions. And they use it on her, and she has like a mental battle against the alchemist. And the alchemist is super strong because what we find out is that whole wasteland thing that was going on, where we found out that Jalan is alive, but there's all the spirits from the afterlife of the guardians and warriors, you know, like the bloodlines, where they had ended up, and this like dude was coming and cutting them, and they'd like disappear, but he couldn't disappear Jalan because she wasn't actually dead. The reason he's doing that is because when he cuts the people and their soul turns into energy and floats off to the alchemist inside Pei Ling and strengthens her. So the whole point was like, we'll get all the bloodlines and that'll strengthen her and then she'll be able to take over Pei Ling. But Pei Ling figured it out because she did the whole candle thing. And she's like, I can't fight you, but I can put you in a cage because that's what you're afraid of. So now she's got her locked in a cage in her brain. Which seems like maybe not a permanent solution, let's say. Also, I think that happened on Supernatural. And we're going to see how that unfolds.
All right.
Also, Pops is running a campaign. Pops is running the campaign of the guy who changed his mind on the crime bill.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Oh, did I miss that? I'm sorry.
I also understand that there was chaos at the restaurant in the previous episode.
Yeah, that was pretty cute. That was actually a very adorable episode. They were all trying to figure out who was causing the chaos because it seemed very targeted toward the family, mm-hmm. and then it was targeted toward Nikki, mm-hmm. and all of it turned out to just be that it was one of the they were trying to reopen, and it was one of the potential chefs that they were testing. And she got really upset because she saw Nikki eat her dumpling and spit it out. And so like clearly the girl didn't get the job. And then she just decided to take revenge and like destroy the whole place. It was a very funny episode. Also, I kind of feel bad because the mom went the first suspects obviously were Harmony Dumpling, the other dumpling place, mm-hmm. the competitor that's been like kind of stealing all of their menu items and so she went and like caused this big stink and then it wasn't them. And I'm like, did she ever apologize? Like, did that ever get smoothed over? I'm a little concerned. But yeah, mostly I'm just looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. Are Bo and Henry going to become friends?
That'd be a nice twist. Yeah.
Do you have any predictions?
Or maybe Bo and Henry become more than friends.
That'd be pretty cool.
I think that's where the show should be headed.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like we need more time with Bo. Mm-hmm. But Henry's got, because he's got all the magic stuff going on, he's not going anywhere. So either Bo is going to turn out to do the Dustin thing and be evil. Mm-hmm. Or I think he has room because I still think he should be the new Althea because he can do all the internet stuff. So Nikki needs to talk to him. He gets brought into the fold, but Henry will also be in the fold and they'll kind of like spend a few episodes kind of doing that like bro thing where they're like kind of ego. They're like, you know, puffing up and like trying to impress, you know, and then, but I don't know how it shakes out because it's like, you've got the history with Henry and he's a compass now, which seems pretty important.
Well, Bo probably ends up being evil or being killed.
Oh, yeah. What if he just dies?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be sad.
Yeah.
And Jalan's now just stuck on her own in the wasteland. I mean, look, long game, Jalan has to get out of the wasteland and then she and Nikki have to like finally confront their feelings for each other.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting theories for a show that I don't watch, so... Mm. It's good to see. I always enjoy hearing it because, again, never seen it. I don't know what is happening on that show, but
yeah. Well, I don't think anything I said made sense. But that's Kung Fu.
And that's Kung Fu Corner. Thank you, Tori. Yep. I'm sure we'll get more from Kung Fu Corner next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the show's on hiatus, which I don't think it is.
I don't know, but I'm going to guess no.
One of us will figure it out and tell you next week.
Yeah.
Sherman Showcase, by the way, is on AMC Plus.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Thank you, Dustin.
So yeah, go watch Sherman Showcase on AMC Plus, which all of you have, as do I, even though I don't think I got it for Moonhaven and haven't finished Moonhaven, and I will finish it. And also Gangs of London is almost back. I'm going to finish it.
Gangs of London is like next week.
But yeah, Gangs of London is almost here. So it's almost
done. And obviously, what is it? The finale of Interview with a Vampire is up, but none of us are allowed to talk about it because it doesn't air until next week.
Exactly, yes.
So journalists are actually under an embargo, but normal people just apparently also don't talk about it.
I've yet to try this show. I hear good things.
It's very good.
That's what everyone says.
Let the Right One In is also very good.
It is. Yeah, you do like it. Yeah.
I was surprised, and I don't think people are always surprised when I say it's very good. I don't think they believe me. They're like, really? I don't know.
Which is weird because it's not like you don't know what a bad show is. You also watch
right.
them.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen the movies. So, like, but it works.
Yeah. Mm. Is it bloody? Like, is there a lot of vampire stuff happening?
Not a lot of vampire stuff. Hmm. There's like a thing where the dad is trying to find the daughter's maker.
Okay.
Because he thinks he can
kill the maker. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the maker sister is like a scientist who's trying to cure him.
Oh.
But in doing so, she invented a drug to help with his pain, and that drug is now being sold on the street. And that made it sound not as interesting as it is, and I apologize. But, like, you know the little boy that the girl...
The neighbor?
Like, yeah, the neighbor. Yeah. So her mom is a cop.
Oh.
And the deadbeat dad is killed by...
The girl?
The girl's dad in the first episode. Because the girl doesn't...
Not even a vampire kill.
No, well, the girl doesn't kill anybody. The dad does all the kills for her.
And she just drinks dead
the blood. Well, yeah, he brings the blood back. So he's like prowling around the city and killing people because he feels so bad. And
yeah,
he doesn't want her to become a killer. So he just does it for her. And the guy, I always forget his name. The guy from The Bridge is so good.
Damien Bashir?
Yes. Oh, my God. He's so good.
You know, doing the evil deeds to spare other people from having to do them is also basically what Inside Man is.
Yes.
It's kind of what. Did you guys watch the Guillermo del Toro Cabinet of Curiosities?
No,
it's just not. I hate anthology series.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah, I don't care for them.
What if it was an animated anthology series?
That would be like hell.
Honestly, I'm a little bummed that they didn't have an animated episode. What if I told you there was a hole?
I don't. If it's no, I don't. Well, maybe.
You'd watch that one.
Maybe.
Oh, I bet there's a. We could definitely find him an anime that has a hole.
Oh.
No.
I mean. Find a lot of anime souls.
Yeah.
I meant the
Anthology, yeah. I just don't, yeah. Anthology series don't do it for me.
This one's pretty good. Some of them. I mean, it's the thing with the anthology, it's every episode's different. So right. It's like,
yeah.
Some of them you can have an outstanding. Yeah. The outstanding ones, like the good ones are really, really good. So.
There should be like people whose job it is to like watch these episodes and tell you which ones are good.
I hear they did that on Pajiba.com. Oh.
Did they?
Are you? Do you really not remember?
No, I do. I do.
I was like, you ran Jen's review. No, I know.
Yes.
See, I did it wrong because I knew there was one episode I was interested in, which was the one by the guys who did Mandy, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I just skipped ahead to that one. And it was delightful. And it had Eric Andre in it. And then I watched that and that was great, but weird. And then I watched and then whatever one came on after it, which was genuinely beautiful and disturbing. But it was like the last episode. And then I went back and now I'm just sort of like, I feel like they saved the best for last. So I'm like, I don't know if the rest of this. So maybe if anyone's curious, skip to the last two episodes. It's the viewing and the murmur something.
I did want to say, because you and Juan have gotten caught up on Quantum Leap and you're enjoying that.
Yes.
Yeah, what? I am liking it a lot too, except for that Halloween episode I wasn't a fan of. But
why? Because they did The Exorcist by way of The Ring?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I just, you know, it felt like a sort of gimmicky standalone. I mean, and that's fine. That's what network television does, but
it was gimmicky. It also felt very 90s. Like that one felt more like a throwback.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything seems supernatural, but it's actually a drug. But I did like the twist that the apparition he was seeing wasn't just a drug-induced thing. It was actually Janice or whatever her name is, Calavici, mm-hmm. trying to get in touch with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that was a nice, like at the end, it was like, oh, no, it wasn't just a hallucination. She really has been trying to like get at him.
Yeah, the present day stuff is actually really interesting somehow.
Leaper X.
That's right.
I will catch up at some point.
It's worth catching up on.
I want to. I'm just.
It's an easy sort of like enjoyable.
A lot of TV, you know.
I know. Yeah. I know. So much television.
Are we out of shows to talk about?
Well, we have Andor is on the list.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you guys watching Andor?
Yes. I'm watching it. Okay. I'm not the person to talk about it, though.
Well, it's just because I don't know. It's one of those shows that's hard to talk about because it's so, I don't know. I just find it so well done.
Yeah.
And it just, like, outside of the Star Wars of it, it's just so well thought out and crafted and, It's like I'm trying to figure out, like, if it wasn't Star Wars, I would still enjoy it a lot.
Right.
But the fact that it feels like a real television show, nothing against, you know, Pajaba Show of the Year, The Mandalorian.
Right.
But, that is like a Star Wars show. This is a good show happens to be Star Wars.
But right. I also think, and this is something, because I do agree, but I think a lot of people are like, it feels like it's good despite being Star Wars. And I think that there's something really great about the fact that like all of the world building of the franchise, mm-hmm. it lends itself, but the show is capitalizing on these nooks and crannies that have never been explored and never been fleshed out.
Right.
So I think there's something about it that like, I do think it's more enjoyable as a Star Wars show.
Oh,
it's
just
that it's doing stuff that none of the other Star Wars things have bothered to do.
Right.
But there because we're so familiar with this world, there's certain shorthands or, you know.
Right.
It just lends itself.
Yeah. So and just the way that it feels very, it's the most real Star Wars has ever felt, which is a weird thing to say because it's, you know, a silly, very different universe, but
yeah.
But I just also, the groundedness of it, the way that we're following characters who are fundamentally small in the big picture of things,
right.
But their drives are very human.
And it's also because so much of Star Wars has been, you know, kind of grand heroic figures against faceless hordes with like one towering, you know, bad guy, whether it was Emperor or Darth Vader or whatever. But you had like stormtroopers and you have all these, and the rebels were kind of like a bunch of pilots with like maybe a couple people that you would recognize. Like there's no, it was all kind of faceless with the stormtroopers, especially so. And here it's like we're getting specific people on both ends of the spectrum where you're understanding not even the Empire, but like the security forces that work for the Empire. Like you're getting these kind of flunkies, but you know, very specific.
Right.
And similarly, you're seeing like the roots of this rebellion and the, from a political, you know, aspect, on the ground, the people who don't even, somebody like Cassian Andor, who doesn't really have a stake in the rebellion, but just kind of fell in with them. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone has a face.
Right.
There's no, I can't even remember. I think maybe there have been stormtroopers, but like, it doesn't even register.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, the people in the towns, it's like, and it's not just that they go by and it's like, oh, there's nameless atrocities. It's like, no, when atrocity happens, you know, you have met the character it's happening to. Mm-hmm. You care about everyone. So, it's great.
I do not care for Star Wars, but I love this. Well, I like it a lot.
Yeah. So I was talking to Mike Redman. So Mike Redman does all the recaps for Pajiba.com and their wonderful recaps. But I have a bit of a problem because I really am obsessed with cereal. That he keeps eating every week.
Yeah.
And the first time he does it and the mom serves it and he holds up the thing. And I was like, it's moldy. She's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And Mike was like, no, it just looks like a galaxy. They're just like space Cocoa Puffs. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm pretty sure that was mold. So I'm really upset because he's probably right. But I like my version better. So now every time I watch it, I'm like, is he eating rotten cereal? Cause I'm like, there's something about his character. If he knew it was rotten and he just was so dejected, he just didn't care and kept eating it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a character choice.
Right.
But also, why would you just show off
character though?
But he, at the time, I think he was, I don't know. Also, what if his mom just wants to kill him? Look, I'm just saying, I think
you got a lot of theories.
I think the linchpin of the show is going to be that cereal.
The cereal. Yeah, yeah.
Why do we keep seeing him eat the cereal?
I don't know.
Because for the economics of producing it for the show to make it work.
To make it work.
Between that and the blue milk, they had to make a certain amount of it.
Also, cereal. It's an obvious marketing. Like, just turn the merch that shit. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, sell it by Christmas. We'd buy it. So. But yeah, is it going to be weird going back to The Mandalorian after this?
Yes.
It might be, even though, you know, it will no doubt win Show of the Year 2023.
Oh, absolutely.
But I also feel like Andor is the least popular Star Wars show, despite how great it is. Like, this is like the one that nobody's really talking about that much.
People are talking about it. I just don't think it, because it doesn't have a gimmick every week.
And it doesn't.
You mean like a cute Yoda?
Baby well, Yoda. I feel like it's not, I mean, I don't know, like my nephews who watch Star Wars stuff probably are not watching Andor.
Right.
Because it's not really built for like kids. I mean, not that it's like excessively violent or excessively, like it's not that they couldn't handle it. It's just, I think intriguing. The rhythm of the show is not, it's not like the rest of Star Wars, which is,
right. You know, like every function, three episodes.
At its best works for kids and adults.
Right. Like the other shows kind of were, each episode was its own thing, but they would usually have like a guest star or like there was something that you could kind of go. And like you talk about spoilers, like nothing in Andor is a spoiler.
Right.
Like the show unfolds in three episode arcs. And so no single episode feels like it's the tipping point of the whole show. Like, that's just not the way it operates.
Right.
How many episodes are there?
I've been trying to figure that out.
12 this season, 12? 12 next season.
Oh, it's 12.
Okay. And so I think we just watched episode
9.
Eight. Nine? So yeah, we just finished. Okay, so we're at the end of, okay, and then so we're now we're into the last, arc. Right. Yeah. We're going into the last arc.
Yeah. Also, just like the people that are attached. I mean, besides Tony Gilroy and his brother, and Bo Williman did the last arc, like the creator of House of Cards. So
yeah,
it's like, like, oh, these are like powerhouse creators too. On
like top they're doing fine. I do think Mandalorian will be refreshing, if only because it's like, okay, look, Andor is outstanding, but not every show can be Andor.
Right.
At least the Mandalorian isn't Boba Fett. Like, I feel like it'll just be nice to get back to like the slightly better than below average, you know, like it's the perfect. There we go.
We never talked about New Amsterdam.
Were we supposed to?
No.
Oh, you mean The Resident?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, which one is that? Christian
Radio or Survivor? Boy? What is happening on Survivor?
There is one thing I wanted to ask you about Survivor, Dustin.
There's a very intriguing thing that happened at the end of this week's episode. Yes.
What was the intriguing thing?
Somebody was eliminated who we don't know whether he passed the immunity back to the person. Yeah,
I think he did.
But is that okay? Are you allowed to do that? I feel like once you're eliminated, anything that you are in possession of
is no longer. But if he passed it back before he was eliminated.
Because if he had it at the time of elimination, wouldn't he have used it?
Well, there was a whole thing. So there was a whole thing where they had a plan to eliminate one person, but they knew that that person knew who had what advantage and could ask for that advantage if they felt threatened.
They could steal it.
Yeah, they could steal it. So they swapped stuff around, but then after they swapped stuff around, someone else's plan took effect, which ended up eliminating someone who was part of like the swap. So
he had somebody else's advantage. Yeah,
and he felt safe because he was like, oh, we're part of this swap and we have this plan, so it's going to be fine.
Right, and then he got screwed.
Yeah. So he got screwed, and possibly the person who owned the idol that he had been given just to hold on to, if she didn't get it back, then she might also be screwed.
I feel like that's just a rookie mistake. Like if you have, just hold on to your shit.
Yeah. That's people get cute because they get paranoid. The thing, Dustin, I wanted to ask you, because you've watched every season.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a couple episodes back, but this is still before the merge when there were three teams and one tribe explicitly started helping the other one in challenge. And I was like, have they ever done that before? I've never seen that.
No, oh, okay. No. That was like, what the hell are you doing? But that, I get that it was because really, they,
yeah.
Because the other team had been dominant up until that point.
Right.
So I sort of get it.
But it was just an interesting that, and like the fact that when I feel like this is kind of new to this season too, where like when a tribe finished a challenge, they would immediately knock it like a puzzle. They would immediately knock it over so that the other tribes couldn't see it. And I was like, oh, I don't know if others have been doing it, but that's the first time I noticed it.
I don't feel like they did it as much in previous seasons.
I never thought that they would be in the same area. Like,
well, no, when they're doing
they would be separate puzzles.
When they're doing the challenges, they're all like right next to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Wicked challenge this week where they're like stuck in nets and had to twist to get out. Oh, man, it was
wicked. Oh, yeah, it looked brutal.
So Redneck McConaughey is
the one who claims he's from Hawaii but is from Iowa.
Yeah, but he's sort of evolved into my favorite character. In the beginning, I hated him.
I'm very against him because he's like, he's so much like, aloha, blah, blah, blah. It's like, and there, I can't remember who it was, but one other person called him out and she's like, dude, you're from Iowa. Like in the hurricane. She's like, dude, you're from Iowa. You're doing aloha this and blah, blah, blah that. And I was like, yes.
I feel like he's like aloha, but also votes for Trump. But also is just like, I feel like even though he's from Iowa, he's like, he's got a very New Hampshire kind of vibe about him. He's got like a,
you rooting for him?
I don't know.
But that being said, just,
making it worse.
He is very, like, he's really good at the game. And yeah, like, and he is like, he's clearly likable enough that like, he's likable, but like kind of staying under the radar just enough. Yeah.
I rooted for him not to win the immunity this week, because that would have put him on a target on his back. And by losing, I think it actually worked to his advantage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know why I like the guy, but.
The old guy is the one that I'm curious, because like it feels Gabler. Like,
oh, Gabler, the worst.
It just feels like they're gonna try to get him out as soon as
they can. He's just the worst. He and that pediatric Karen, the pediatric nurse. I was like, she's a pediatric nurse. How great is that? That's amazing. But also, she's the worst white woman I have ever seen on the show.
Is her name actually Karen?
Nurse? Huh? Which one's her name wasn't Karen. She got eliminated like 2 episodes ago. Oh, I don't think her name was actually, but she was just like the whitest woman.
Wait, are you talking about
the one that got super paranoid?
Oh, yeah. She did get super paranoid.
Yeah.
That was like an unforced error kind of thing.
Yeah.
How close to the merge are they?
They just merged.
Oh, they just merged. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So they're down to, I think, 11 people now. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. And the next episode will be the jury. Like the next elimination will be the first person on the jury. Pretty good season.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it more than last season.
Man, I don't remember. Seasons just, as soon as I watch them, they just...
See, 40, so 41 had characters I liked. 42, I was like, this one...
43.
It is 43. And luckily, they got rid of the hourglass thing, because that didn't work.
Yeah, that was crap.
At least not, it didn't work once anyone knew what it was. Like, so they could only run it for those 2 seasons. Anyway, that's Survivor talk, which Tori doesn't watch, but
yeah, but I like hearing about it.
It's fun.
It's just people fighting.
All right. Well, I guess that's the show.
Anybody else watching Great British Bake Off?
No,
just me. And that's a Rocky on just to talk about that.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you guys didn't watch the Doctor Who finale?
No.
That was a big deal.
I will someday.
And I can't even spoil it because you guys...
No, you can't spoil it.
I can't. Yeah, this is the one I can't actually spoil. Ugh, fine.
We weren't around for the Hot D finale, which was...
Not the episode
I haven't watched.
You still have... Wait, have you... watched up until the finale or of the show?
I'm like, no, I watched through, like, I think I watched until the kids, I watched until the kid got his eyes sliced, and then I know there's a time jump to where like they become teens.
Yeah.
But like I didn't watch the teen one. So like the last one I watched, I think was
when they were still like kind of kids.
They're still kids. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? If you're not going to have David Tennant's son on anymore, then I'm out.
You're done.
Yeah. Wow. And I haven't watched Rings of Power past episode 1.
I mean, at this point. So.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
We talked about that one, though.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Los Spookies finale where Isabella Rossellini showed up and swore a whole bunch.
I'm actually behind on
that. Sounds pretty
two
good.
Episodes behind on that.
God.
I know. I'll get there.
Well, there's always too much TV, which means we will have lots more to talk about next week. So that's good.
Next week on Pajiba.
Yeah. Also, we didn't even do like water talk. So there's.
We did.
We talked about Trader Joe's. Come
that's
on.
Like barely water talk. That's
crappy
like,
apple water.
That was green only, apple. You're water. The only one talking about water. That's not a proper water talk. We had wood talk instead. So.
I have a prickly pear and citrus.
Oh, why are you buying the liter ones?
I was really thirsty at the grocery store. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
No, I tried not to buy the plastic bottles.
Yeah, single-use plastic.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
Wait, so what are you supposed to buy instead?
Cans.
Yeah.
Oh, cans.
But you recycle them in there. Yeah.
Hear my children. Whenever you bring one of those, they're just single-use plastic bad. Like, okay, I'm sorry.
It's technically true. They can be recycled. We don't. But
yeah, I mean, you could. We put them in the recycling.
Right. Right.
The recycling does not happen. Our fault
that they don't do that. That's no longer.
That's a decades-long scam.
Yeah. But if you remove the it's a problem. If you remove the infrastructure, it never restarts. So it's fine. That's not what this podcast is about. We're about television. I can tie it back. If you end a service like a streaming service or a network, you're not gonna spin it up again. So it's like you gotta keep it going as long as you can. Because there's all this sunk cost that you're just going to get rid of forever. This is not a subtweet of anything happening in the news right now. anyway, that's the podcast. We'll be back next week.
By the time you listen to this, like, the midterms will have happened and none of this will matter.
That's true.
Daniel Radcliffe got like suspended from Twitter today and no one will
know. We won't know the results by the time we record next week. So that's fine.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They'll still be counting.
We won't?
Oh. They'll still be counting ballots.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
I mailed mine in like a week ago. Two weeks ago almost. Vermont just mails your ballot. You get it like a month and a half before the election.
Makes sense.
It's kind of awesome.
Anyway, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.